Wizards ICT, www.wizardsict.com. We have all of your tabletop wargaming, board games, and comic book needs that you could have or want. We will fill them for you. We offer discounts of 10 to 20% on every single order. And if your order goes over $100, we will ship it to you for free. We carry most of the top 40 board games, most of the top tabletop war games, and Marvel and DC Comics, and a lot of independent books. So if you're looking for a comic book subscription, you're looking for a new board game to try out, you're looking to fill that Warhammer army out with some new models, we can help you out. Check us out at www.wizardsict.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Wizardsict.com, and shoot us an email. We'll let you know if we have it, if we can get it, and we will get it to you. Let us help you get your geek on.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Iron Realms podcast. Got everybody here today, Ryan and Paul.
Hello.
Hey.
So we've had quite the experience the last few weeks. I think collectively your hosts are, what was it, Paul, 4-17?
Something like that.
We're good at this game.
We're good.
We are so good. You guys don't even know. We're playing the long game. Like, we're just baiting you into thinking we suck. But speaking of events and things, I think Ryan had the most fun. So,
oh yeah,
you kind of want to give us a rundown of all that.
I mean, there's really not much to run down when I went 0-6 the last 2 weeks at small RTTs that I've been at, and there is a picture floating around the internet of me putting on the face as I played a 7 or 8 year old kid my last game when I was up in Wichita, which part of the reason why it happened was, well, let's just put it this way. First game I played against OBR with my Cruel Boys list, and the OBR catapult crawler just threw 10 wounds into my Bolt Boys, and they basically evaporated after three turns. I made it 3 turns that game, so that was nice. Second game, I took on Fire Slayers against Preston and Preston Rhodes. And if anybody has a chance to, they really need to play him. He's a lot of fun to play. He was playing Fire Slayers with his Drakes, which is pretty much a Drakes list. Or Magma Droths, sorry. A lot of fun to play. Vice, not a fan of the mission, but came down really close. We actually went 5, and I think I ended up losing by 6 points. So that one was really close. I screwed up priority target, and I didn't move my guys, my Bolt Boys, up fast enough to shoot at anything. So the last game I played...
The infamous game.
I was tired. I was coming off caffeine. I was hungry.
You know, I'm just going to let you know that Charles was talking so much shit to me on Messenger about you that day. It was hilarious.
I know.
And he sent me that picture. And I was like, that man's soul has left his body. It's gone.
Like, he was playing Seraphon too. So I'm like, this is already going to be a fun game because, you know, Seraphon are very interactive when it comes to playing against them. Like, they're very well balanced. Like, you can do lots of stuff against them. So he was 7-8 year old kid, and he was literally hopped up on Mountain Dew. Like, he was talking 90 miles an hour, and he was looking at my army, and he's like, oh, you guys are so cruel. And I was like, oh, you know, Cruel Boys, haha. And just trying to have fun. Like, it was the last game of the day, and I just wanted to have fun. And then he proceeded to 20 mortal wound bomb one of my units right off the bat.
It's like, I came here to kick someone's ass.
He literally did that, and I just sat there and I was like, how did you do that? And he goes, I cast this spell, and then I rolled that number of dice, and I rolled this many wounds, and then it went through. And I was like, oh, well, pardon me. I was like, whoa, okay, slow down. And he was talking, and then he goes, okay, now I'm gonna do this. And he just starts talking. And so instantly the switch in my brain just shuts off, and I'm just like, you know what? Don't care. I just don't care. So I let him play. He wiped the floor with me, and I conceded, I think, after turn 2. So That was the infamous look, and I admit, like, my soul had left my body halfway through that experience. Because he was just sitting there talking, he's like, wow, you're not doing really well, aren't you? Are you? And I'm like,
thanks, you little fucker.
I was like, okay, well, first of all, I was just trying to be nice till that point, but you've already mortal wounded half my army off the board, so I really can't say anything.
I love it. That kid is talking so much shit. That is awesome.
He's like, your guys aren't doing very well, are they? I'm like, no, they're really not.
No, they're not. But
thanks. I appreciate it. I took all the time to build these guys, and now I'm having a 7-year-old talk about how my army's not that great when I already know they're not that great.
Oof. Oof, that's rough.
So then the next week I went to RTT at Emin Unplugged, hosted by Mitchum.
You got to redeem yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I did not. First game, I played Soul Blight with Direwolves. Pretty much every character from the Cursed City list. A lot of heroes and a lot of zombies. And a corpse cart. And... yeah, so stuff doesn't die in Soul Blight, no matter how much you throw at them. Every one of his heroes, or at least 3 or 4 of his heroes, could bring back 10 direwolves. So I managed to wipe a unit of like 20 direwolves off, because it was kind of like a DPS check. And I did pretty good DPS, but the problem is I attacked the units when I should have attacked the heroes. So that was my one screw up. But all their freaking heroes have like a 2-up save. And then they have the ability to pass wounds off to a bodyguard unit. And then there's a mortal wound save after that. So needless to say, he bulldozed through my front line. And my bolt boys were just sitting there with their pants down. And I was like, well, this isn't going to end well. So I lost that one. So then I played Preston again, who removed one Magma Droff and brought a Caradron Overlord. And essentially, we just duked it out. And it was another really close game. I just, once again, screwed up priority targeting on that one and didn't kill the Magma Droffs fast enough. So lost that. And then I went against Paul, and I just stared at him for one turn. Essentially, he let me go first. I moved my units a little bit, and then he said, okay, my turn. And then he double turned me and wiped my army off the board. So
that Paul guy's big old jerk, huh?
Literally, I think we played for 20 minutes and I was just dust, because Paul's like, yeah,
Shadow Stalkers, right?
Game three has not been too nice to you, huh, Ryan?
Well, Paul at least didn't say, man, your guys aren't doing that great, are they?
Oh, he was thinking it.
He literally just looks at me and he goes, hey, the only thing that Paul said, which I still think is hilarious to this day and haunts me in my dreams, is he looked at me and he goes, just so you know, I know we talked it out, but it was probably worse if we actually played it out. And then he goes, because after these guys killed this last unit, they were going to charge straight into your back line, and you know that was not going to be good because they can fight and then fight again. And so
rub some salt in it,
right? Yeah, needless to say, this is a perfect demonstration of what happens when you play a blunt force armies in like Ogre Maw tribes and Sons of Behemoth, and then turn around and play something that has a little bit more finesse. And Cruel Boys, it's a massive adjustment for me. I still struggle with positioning, and I really don't think the Cruel Boys can stand up by themselves. They're just unless they do something with Gut Rippers, I don't know how you can soak up wounds to be able to dish stuff back, especially in a lot of the meta that you face right now with people who have stuff that have really good saves, can bring back models. Also, there's lots of monsters running around, and which I mean, they can handle monsters, but it I think pure Cruel Boys is far off. So I'm considering tabling them and getting reps in with one of my other armies, so that way I can take on Charles with best destruction, because right now, if I go in with what I've played the last two RTTs, I'm wearing that dress, and I would at least like to give myself a chance before I play Charles. So,
yeah, because you're gonna have to do something, or else you're wearing a dress.
Yeah. So, I have two army lists, so I just have to figure out which one I'm gonna go with. So, and they're both. One of them is one that I played before, and he's pretty familiar with. And then the other one is something a little bit more off the wall. So hopefully I'll get to test the off the wall one soon and see if it's at least playable and then go from there.
Okay, well, good luck on that. Paul, you want to let us know about your 500 record?
Yeah, so I played the Wichita tournament a couple weekends ago. Working on my list for this tournament, this Vault Wars that's starting tomorrow morning, here, in Springfield. And, first game I played against, James's, Slaanesh, was able to get the double turn into two, was able to kill Sigvald and a lot of his archers. And then I think it was turn three, I killed Dark Prince, Belacor, and we called it there. Then the next game I played against Chris's Thunder Lizards, and that's a really good counter for my Thralls because I don't get to do, you know, my two damage goes back to one. And a lot of his stuff was really based around, I mean, he had Croak and then some, like a Basti and an Engine of the Gods. And I think he had Celestia Prime, too. That was his other thing. And, yeah, he did. And so, like, I just, one, I didn't win any priorities that I think I had lost all the priority roles. So nice. That was pretty,
you're taking a page out of my book there. Against.
Yeah. And, two, I just wasn't able to, I mean, I killed Croak and the Basti, but just wasn't able to get enough damage into his Engine of the Gods was buffed like crazy. It was like +3 to save, +2 to attack characteristics, plus damage characteristic, minus to be hit, minus to be damaged. It was just like I threw like a big group of thralls into it and just he just kind of laughed it off. It was funny. But I think he was pretty, that might be the first win he's got against me in a tournament, so he was pretty psyched on it.
Heck yeah,
that's good.
That's and quite then, the achievement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then game three I played Bone Reapers, and everyone knows Bone Reapers are terrible, so I won. Oh no, I lost that game.
Oh, shit.
Again, I lost every priority roll, and like into turn two, into turn three, and into turn four, he was like, if you win this priority, you're going to win the game. And I'm like, yep. But I got close. I just wasn't able at the very end. I was trying to kill his warlord, Arcan, but he was able to slough off like 12 wounds over to his, like, I forget what they're called, Obi-Wan Kenobi guys, on Bone Reapers, but whatever they're called that can slough off wounds. So I wasn't able to kill that, but I mean, the Mortec Crawler didn't do anything to me. I don't know what your problem was, Ryan. You just gotta have tricks to not let him shoot at you and force him to shoot at something he doesn't want to. You should invest in that. But
yeah,
really, both games, playing against Croak, who's +3 to unbind, I think, and Arcan, who's +2 to unbind, and his every turn he used his terrain piece to make my wizard -1 to cast and unbind, and then not winning the priorities. Those are all things that worked against me in those two. And then the tournament last weekend, I ended up didn't get to go down there, played against Joe's Fire Slayer game one. Man, that endless prayer thing that he has, the magma droth type looking prayer thing, dude, he just threw it. He doubled its move, so it goes like he casts out 24 inches, and then he gets to roll 12 dice for everything that's within like six of it or something, and sixes are mortals. So he did, I think he did 33 mortal wounds in the three turns with that one endless prayer. And it just kept following me around. I didn't have a priest, so I couldn't even try to get rid of it. Just had to take the pain. And then I did a double turn him. Thought I was going to be able to kill three Hearthguard Berserkers with 45 attacks. And I killed one Hearthguard Berserker.
Yikes.
Four up ward save is quite good. And then he came down and did pretty much wipe my army in turn two or three, I think. So, Joe P got that win, and then I played the Buybuster game, but we still played out the full game against Stormcast with those, I think it was Vindicators, the three up save guys. He had like 30 of those. And they were pretty tanky, as well as the Chariot was tankier than I expected. It's three up save base with like 12 wounds. It was pretty tanky, but I was able to end up chewing through that and getting to kill Vanis, and then he teleported his Lord Relector over to my objective, and then I teleported my, that was when I was playing with Shadow Stalkers and Fulminators with my, combined with my list of Thralls and Reavers and the King and the Eidolon on the Sea. So I ended up winning that one, and then I played Ryan, and
yeah,
I gave him turn one, he moved up, I basically didn't let him shoot because of my ritual cheesiness, and then I moved up, and then I double turned him, and I got to charge with like most of my army, and I broke through his screens, and it just wasn't going to be a good day for the old cool boys.
We chose to strategically move off the field of battle.
Yeah. Missing a few limbs and other things.
Nothing hurt but our pride.
Yep. But we got, I think, 38 or 40 people here at Springfield playing in Vault Wars. So nice. Playing a GT the next 2 days.
Awesome. And you're taking Ineth?
Yep. Yeah, but it's a two-list format, so my base list is 40 Thralls, 20 Reavers, Eidolon of the Sea, Murder King, Tidecaster, and my flex for the rest of the Life Swarm. And then my flex is either two Sharks and a Burning Head, or a unit of Fulminators and Shadow Stalkers. So I get to pick which of those two to add to the base list. So I like the two list format's kind of neat. We'll see how it goes.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Represent.
I hope I don't poop the bed, because I'm supposed to be on AOS coach, and I really don't want to tell him like how I got 0-5 at this tournament. So I hope I do a little bit better than that.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. Just don't let it get to your head.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do much better than Ryan. I went up to, or down, I guess, to the Seattle Open, which was actually in Tacoma, which was nice because Tacoma is slightly cleaner than Seattle, which is good, I guess. I don't know. It was a really cool event. The Open, seeing all the stuff they had there, all the people playing games, I really think if you guys are able to make it to one this year, it's definitely worth it. At least on the Age of Sigmar side, it was a lot of fun. The TOs and the judges for our side were great. Loved talking to people about the hobby and things that are you know, coming down the pipe from GW. So it was really exciting. I had a great time with that. Most of my games, I had a great time. Even though I lost, I ended up at 1-4, and my only win came against another Sylvaneth player. So it's kind of a sad deal there. But yeah, my first game, I think I played Stormcast. I forget exactly what he had in his list, but that one was actually very, very close. It came down to the last turn, and I just didn't have enough to keep one of the objectives. He was able to take me off of it and then won the game. But it was a really good one. And then turn two, I played Skaven. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got this massive mortal wound bomb. You know, I'm going to wreck shop. Like, yeah, Skaven can hurt. And he had Storm Fiends, and he was, like, doing 12 to 15 damage with them, you know, 2 feet away from me or whatever, and just wiping stuff. But it was all chaff that I didn't really have to have. So the core of my army was intact. But turn one, which Scott pointed this out to me already, I didn't take Gnarl Root, which I should have since I was taking the Warsong. But I cast Throne of Vines. I get it to go off. I'm right next to Arcane Territory, and I'm right next to a Wildwood with my Warsong. So I'm already at a +4 to cast turn one. And then I go to cast Umbral Spell Portal, and I roll Snake Eyes, which was great. So miscast and then damage myself. And I'm thinking, well, that sucks, but it's still turn one. That's not a big deal. I can make up for that. I just try to stay away from him and be selective with where I attack. And so we go into turn two. I can't remember if I took priority from him or not. I don't think I did. So he goes again, he kills a unit of tree revs and then killed my spite revenants, which that hurt a little bit because that was a big screen of mine. But again, go back to my turn. I'm at a +4 to cast. I roll Throne of Vines. It goes off. I'm at a +6 to cast, and I go for Umbral Spell Portal, and I roll Snake Eyes again. And I'm like, like, what are the fucking odds of this shit? Holy crap. And my opponent just looks at it and goes, oh. I was like, oh. You know, when you're getting pity from the other side of the table, it's bad. So yeah, I was like, holy shit.
You need to roll
shit.
A 3 on a 2d6 just to get it, you know, and it goes off.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, so I did that, and at that point he was able to get into whatever he wanted and started picking my stuff off. And the next turn I finally got it to go off. I actually made it 5 turns with the Warsong still alive, and at the end of that I think it was I ended up being like +12 or +14 to cast. So it was crazy, but I lost that game because two rounds of not doing any mortal wounds was just what killed me. So that one sucked because I think I should have won that if the Warsong had gone off, and that's a hard lesson to learn. But you know, I'm not very good at this game, I guess. So we have that. Round three, I played Seraphon. And a guy was pretty cool. He was like, oh, I haven't played too many games. I'm just getting back into it after COVID and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, great. I'm going to lose this game. I can just feel it, you know? And he proceeded to shut down all of my spellcasting. And
did he have Croak?
Yeah, he had Croak. He had Croak. And I forget what else he had. I kind of wiped out that one from my memory banks because Seraphon
are balanced.
All I can remember is he's just like, yeah, I'm like a +3 or +4 to deny, and I would roll, like, you know, I rolled boxcars and he would roll like a 10 and he's like, yeah, it's a 14, I denied it. And I was like, great. Thank you. And that's, he got all his good spells off. I couldn't dispel anything. That one was over like round two. I still had models alive. There wasn't anything I could do. So I lost that one pretty badly. So at the end of day one, I was 0-3. I mean, they were fun games. They were really cool opponents, so that was always nice. I was having a good time, and then let's see, that night hung out with Bam, got to see Bam. He came up.
Was he helping to ref TO?
Yeah, he was. He did the narrative and kill team, I believe. Did he do narrative? I don't know. But Bam was not having a good time there, so we ended up hanging out. I got to hear all the stories about it. But yeah, it was fun. I was really happy to be able to see him, that he came out and was helping the event. So I was able to hang out with somebody I knew. So we hung out, smoked some cigars, and had some drinks, and enjoyed ourselves. And then day two, nice and refreshed, ready to go into it, I get paired up against Sylvaneth. And it wasn't quite a mirror match. He had a War Song. He had a Branch Wraith. He didn't have tree revs, but he had a unit of six size and a unit of three hunters. And so I knew, looking at his list, that I had things that I could do to kind of pick his stuff apart. And then the way he split his armies, he sent the size down one end of the table, and the swords, the War Song, and he had a Tree Lord and the Tree Lord all onto the other. So I sent my size and Durthu up that side, and then used a unit of tree revs and the spite revs to kind of block off his size from getting into me. And I tried to take out his sword hunters that were in cover in a wildwood with a unit of three, tanked my scythe hunters for three rounds, which was unexpected, but it was nice to see, because I feel like anytime I try to tank something with those guys, I end up losing very quickly. But I ended up winning that one. I was just able to, I did everything I needed to do. The War Song went off. I was on like +6/+8 to cast, and I rolled high every single time. And I placed the Umbral Spell Portal close enough to hit his Scythe Hunters and the War Song and everything else. And so I was just chipping away the whole time. So I took that one. And then round five, I went up against a guy that was playing Soul Blight. He had Radikar the Beast. And it was like 120. Zombies. It was like 120 zombies. I just looked at this and I was like, there's no way I'm winning this game. Like, at all. I don't have a chance. But I ended up playing anyways, and you know, at least trying, right? Even though I was, you know, like doomed to failure. Sorry. Right? And he had Belladama, is that the one? She's riding the wolf. Is that who that is?
The one that casts a spell and turns you into a wolf.
I think her name's Belladonna, though. I think it's something else. I thought Belladonna was like the half looking vampire.
It's the grandma that's riding a wolf that's got like wolf feet.
Yeah.
Anyways, had that and a unit of 10 wolves on one side. And I cast a Wildwood. I boosted Durthu up there. And then I, what'd I do? I got in there. I did some damage. And then he has what, three attacks? So I was rolling five attacks with him into the wolves, and I got four hits, and then I'm rolling my wounds, and I'm at a three to wound, and I roll four ones.
Ooh.
It would have been six. So six damage each. And I'm just like, wow, that's fantastic. But yeah, it was great, because every one of my opponents was like, wow, that's some bad dice rolling at some point in that game that I played against every single person. They made some sort of statement like that. And I was like, I'm glad it followed me, you know, and other people are seeing it. So, so I lost that one. I lost it bad. I think I got like 8 points. And he got, I think he maxed out on points on that one, 'cause I pretty much got wiped. I couldn't stop his spells, and zombies, piling in six, and then fighting twice is a pretty rough combo, and it just chewed through my army. It was in my face like turn two with everything, and so I lost. Ended up at 1-4. I didn't get DFL, which was nice. So,
DFL
sometimes
right?
has good prizes.
They didn't have prizes for DFL there.
Oh, well, that's dumb. Yeah. GW, what the hell?
I know. They should have something.
You're supposed
fun
to be
like
encouraging
that.
The hobby, and you're failing, you losers.
Yeah.
Also, you're right. It was Belladama.
Ah, see? I remember things.
So, Charles, you can't post in Discord that we got it wrong.
Oh, he'll probably post before he listens to this and be like, ha ha, I caught him. The other cool thing is, you know, their packet wasn't a packet. It was actual, like, cards.
Oh, did like, they have the keepable cards of, like,
yeah.
the battle plan? That's what they had
yeah.
at the one in Texas. Those are nice.
That's so cool. Yeah, like, and it's yeah. got all the battle tactics that you got separate. Yeah, so, I mean, this is super neat. I really like them. And it, I mean, you can also use these cards just for any kind of pickup game and not have to have your book or whatever. So that's cool. Also got some sweet little objective
did you buy
markers.
The big baller package or the normal
I did.
One?
I did. I bought the big baller package because what else am I going to do?
Vet money.
Yeah. Woo, woo.
Did they have the case this year or? Like last year, we had got like a foam, battle foam box or whatever.
They gave you a battle foam box?
Yeah, like the plastic thing.
Bucks
with
like,
the,
what the hell?
The foam
those bastards.
And a dice,
no,
dice tray.
No. You know what I got? Fucking Fire Slayer dice. Who wants fucking Fire Slayer dice? You know what's even funnier about that? I saw that and I was like, oh man, Fire Slayer dice. Maybe somebody got something else and
trade.
I can trade them. No, like half of us got fucking Fire Slayer dice. It's
well,
like they just saw, man. We need to get rid of some shit, so here you go. Bullshit.
I mean,
probably limited,
you know.
Limited edition.
Yeah, limited edition Fire Slayer dice that nobody bought. I'm not salty about that at all. Don't worry. But no, the objective marker is really cool. It's got the, you know, Seattle 2022 on it. I've got like a US Open Seattle 22 like challenge coin thing. So
that's
like
cool.
Yeah, so that's neat. I got a whiskey glass that just has Warhammer Events US Open 2022 on it. A water bottle. Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
This thing costs probably like $1 to produce.
Got hydrate.
You got the t-shirt too.
I got the t-shirt, which is neat. I'm trying to see what else was in there. And I got two of the Warhammer commemorative series miniatures, which is the Swamp Call of Shaman, which I'm gonna give to Ryan, and then I got the Space Marines Primaris Company Champion, which I mean that's kind of a sweet model. I'll probably paint that up just because I can. It's pretty neat.
That's the dude with the big shield, right?
No, he's kind of like got a. I don't know. He's got a sword and he's just like ready to attack something.
Oh, okay.
Did you stay for the award ceremony thing?
I did not. I got the hell out of there because I had a 2-hour drive to get home and I didn't want to stay.
Because one of the cool things they did at the Austin one was like the people that won like best in their bracket or whatever, they got to pick from like a grab bag of like some limited edition stuff, which is kind of neat.
Well, I didn't even get best in faction, so there were three of us, and we all finished in, like, the lower, like, fourth. So I was second best Sylvaneth out of three. So.
Nice.
Womp womp.
Excellent.
Yep, doing so good. I'm so good at this game. But moving forward, I'm heading up to Bellingham, which is about 30 minutes north for a 2-day GT, which looks like we've already got like 35 people signed up for June 4th. So I'll be heading to that. I'm taking Sylvaneth again. I'm not taking Winterleaf. I'm going to do Gnarl Root this time, and I'm kicking around some lists that I want to try. So we'll see. If rumors are correct, I may be able to use
the new
some of those
late.
New Sylvaneth. Not the book, but some of the new models.
Oh yeah, the new
FOMO
box with the rats, like rats versus trees.
Are you gonna use the vines?
Yep. Rumor is that book or that box is gonna be released the 28th. So we'll see. I mean, next weekend we should know if it's gonna get released or not.
Yeah, pre-orders.
So that'll be cool. I can get that and maybe play with some of those archers, because those archers look sick, and they also are pretty good with their coherency rules, and then being able to unleash hell and then run 12 inches away from you so you can't actually charge.
That's fun. I wanted to ask you guys about those, because I've been talking with some people. I'm trying to figure out, are they good or are they a trap? And I think one unit of them is decent to help, like, give a little bit of mortal wounds and to give you that,
like
force you to charge me, and then I'm gonna unleash hell.
I'm trying to decide if,
but they're kind of expensive for what they do.
They are. And do you run a unit of 5 or do you do a unit of 10? Because with their coherency rules, you can spread out. And I think somebody did. It's like a 28-inch like conga line.
Because they're two inch coherency.
You'd still have to. You...
Yeah, I guess you'd still have to keep like a bow tie on each end, but it would be a big one at the 2 inches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my concern is like the point sink you have to put them in. I can see the units of 5 being more useful as far as like holding an objective, but still having something that can harass with that objective. It seems like if you sink cost, there's a sunken cost that goes into them. Once you get above 5, I just have a feeling that you're not going to get, you would be spending better points elsewhere is what I'm trying to say. That's what I feel. I think it's a trap unit if you go
and then above. When you fail your 4 up retreat move thing, you're sad.
So, Buck, you probably shouldn't take it because you can fail.
I can fail a lot more than that, let me tell you. Oh, you need a 2 up save? Ha, here's a bunch of 1s. Yay. So yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't think I'll take units of 10. I'll probably do a unit of 5, maybe 2 units 5. It kind of depends on where everything else shakes up. I think the coolest thing though is Durthu not bracketing until he takes 6 wounds, which is going to be super helpful.
Yeah, with him on a 3-up save and all the different ways you have to heal him, like he's going to be a little bit scarier because he's still got his 6 damage weapon that you can fail with as well.
Yes. From experience. Yes. I mean, who needs to do damage in this game? Definitely not me. I'll just roll some 1s and be happy about it.
Oh, I mean, that's what we're just here. We're just here to roll 1s, right?
Best in the business.
We're the podcast that cares and wants you to feel great about yourself.
Especially if you're 8 years old.
That kid was probably like 14, and you know he's probably pissed off that you're saying he was 8.
There is no way that kid. Anyways, I'm not talking about it.
Still have some emotional damage there, Ryan.
Because I'll go to like a fast food restaurant, and I'll swear like worker there, the kid working there is like 7 years old.
They all look like they're 7 years old at this point. If they're under the age of like 27 right now, I'm like, God, you're like 16, right? No, I'm 25. Oh. Oh, man. So what else we got going on in the wonderful world of Games Workshop?
Well, we got Daughters of Cain leaks. We found out Lumineth are getting another book.
Right. So we're back in 2021.
They're gonna have a book a year.
If you are a Daughters of Cain and Lumineth player, you've already spent more than what other armies have spent in the last 5 years just in battle tomes. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, you know, why are they doing these two armies, you know?
Well, Lumineth, I can see them doing that because they screwed up the initial release. They essentially released 2 books. So they're like, okay, now we have to release 1 just to consolidate everything. kind of like a Cities of Sigmar type formula. But Doc makes no sense to me, especially because the early releases that seem to be coming out are very little has changed.
Yeah.
They actually didn't fix the Marathi bow snakes problem. It's still what it is. Marathi is still stupidly underpointed for what she does. She's two models, can only take three wounds a turn. Little Marathi is still a sick caster. They maybe reduced her dispel, one of her dispel things by one. Like, and the rend officially went up to minus two on big Marathi. So to me, it's just one of those things where Doc doesn't really appear to have anything but fluff that could have been changed in a white dwarf release. So I'm kind of confused why they're even getting a book, but probably because somebody has a elf fetish, apparently. That's why we're releasing elves every year. And that's my rant. I'm done.
Yep. And so we got leaks of that. We got the whole Nighthaunt book basically leaked. We got leaks of the Sylvaneth had some things I've seen. Daughters of Cain.
There was a Lariel War Scroll got leaked, and she lost access to the entire lore, which is
weird.
Yeah. When Marathi still has it.
Leaks on the Slaves of Darkness, Christmas stuff.
Yeah, that's insane. That's 7 months out. It's already, pretty much leaked. It just seems crazy to me. That's got to be a record as far as...
Meanwhile,
they changed who's printing them because of all the COVID and overseas stuff.
Yeah.
And whoever is printing them doesn't have the same controls as the other one.
Don't give a shit.
It's just, and the funny part is, or the odd part to me was you had the Skaven side of the box, but you haven't had the Skaven Battle Tome leaks yet. That hasn't come out yet. So we know that's coming. There's two Destruction Battle Tomes hanging out there that we haven't heard from, which everybody assumes, or basically the assumption is Gloomspite and its Ogre Maw tribes, because they're the only destructions that really haven't received a refresh. But at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a Sons of Behemoth Battle Tome release.
Yeah, you gotta have another Sons of Behemoth White Dwarf and Battle Tome.
Yeah. And GW did redo the, for everybody who's concerned about it, GW did redo the Hunters and Prey
they FAQ. Refreshed it.
So, Marathi's
small changes, very limited changes. Nighthaunt.
But Mega Guardians are still off. 2 point a piece, you stupid assholes. I still don't understand how the Gargants are 2 points a piece, but a Maw Crusher is 1 point. When in value, I'm sorry, a Maw Crusher in a Iron Jaws army or a Big Wah army is better than even a Gatebreaker by itself. And also, Marathi should be freaking 3 points considering her cost, because she's better than Kragnaros and Alariel and several other ones, but she's 680 for two models. Anyways, I'm going to stop.
No, tell us how you really feel.
I fucking hate Marathi. I hate all you freaking elves out there. I'm sorry. All you elves are assholes. Except like the wood ones. They're pretty cool because they haven't shown back up yet.
So no, they're in cities, aren't they? There's some wood elves in cities.
But nobody freaking plays them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, everybody plays living cities to do something else.
I mean, Are Sylvaneth even technically elves at this point? I don't think they are.
No, they're not.
They're more trees than elf at this point.
Yeah.
One thing that I did see that I think there might be some interesting interactions are that Daughters of Cain get to take Lumineth as allies, Deepkin as allies, Cities of Sigmar as allies.
Good lord.
And I think the assumption is that, that's going to be a little interesting.
Yeah, can you imagine some Daughters of Cain with a bunch of Sentinels just sitting back picking people off?
I don't see a problem with
to
that.
To go with especially, the bow snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless America. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
400 or, points of sentinel sitting next to the 600 points of bow snakes.
Or you get like one of those stupid fox.
Yeah, the freaking fox is bouncing around everywhere. Where you have a Marathi that's just sitting there, and she's like, "Hey, how's it going? I'm Marathi. Yeah.
Do you want to charge Marathi, or do you want to charge one of my two foxes?
Who's gonna bounce across and shoot, you know, stuff at you, and then they're gonna do it again? Oh, and then the bow snakes are gonna fire. Oh, and then freaking also we have a Seraphon problem still. Like Seraphon, I'm sorry, Seraphon are still a problem. But they're not on the Hunters of Prey list. God forbid we put them on.
Oh, there. I thought, did they take off the Salamanders used to be on it? Are they not anymore?
Oh, let me check real quick. Well, it's still,
I think
Croak should be on there.
The Solar Engine and Salamanders were on it.
No, I think, I seem to think the Order one was mostly Stormcast, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Dragons and Fulminators and Long Strikes. But they did, I don't know if the new one changed. I don't have the new one where I can pull it up right now, but we had Salamanders and
the laziest balancing thing they're trying to do right now.
Blast you with Solar Engine.
I'm trying to look it up right now. Talks amongst yourselves. That's an SNL yeah. reference for anybody who didn't get that.
And the other thing, did anyone know Retreat and Charge is good? Because it's really good. And now all of Nighthaunt has Retreat and Charge.
Oh.
These new Skaven clan rats have Retreat and Charge, as well as the clan vermin or whatever they're called.
Storm vermin, man.
They have Retreat and Charge as well. And they get to bring back D3 models every Battleshock phase, which is kind of a cool mechanic.
I have a feeling there's going to be something that amplifies that, because if you read the Storm Vermin and the Clan Rats, there's a lot that insinuates they're going to put more emphasis on like the smaller heroes like Claw Lords that you didn't see a lot. I'm really kind of sad that I traded away all my Skaven deep down, but I know that I just didn't have fun playing them, but I think they're going to be a fun battle tome. I think they're going to have some ridiculous traits that are going to make them really well.
You want to like, split a good. Box with me?
No, I don't want that box. They actually released a preview of the Doombell.
Yeah.
And they kind of screwed the Doombell up, especially the rolling for the effects that it has. They kind of neutered it a little bit.
I mean, so the problem is it's got to take damage before you can, but you can bring a friggin' vermin lord, right?
No,
I mean, I know you could get one before on a roll of a, you know, 12, but
they changed how you get a vermin.
You have to
lord
like have
now.
Taken 7 damage and then you break your bell and
right.
roll a dice and.
You roll a die. Essentially, what happens is you choose to roll a dice, and in rolling the dice, you have a chance to crack the bell. And if you crack the, if you don't crack the bell, then you're just almost a terrain piece. Almost like you can't move, you can't cast. It neuters it completely. If you do summon a Vermin Lord, it takes away some of the positive effects that you have. So it's more situational than. That and there it seemed like they went to try and discourage the farming for free vermin for free vermin lords, but God, that was
one,
just an
one
awesome
thing
joke.
That it did look interesting, and I don't remember exactly how the old one worked, is I think they said that the bell can only move if it's got 10 Skaven units within so many inches or models.
Mm-hmm. That was
like
the old
used
one
to, it
that,
was yeah. just like clan rats and stuff that could move it. Could you do it with one clan rat, or did it have to be a
No,
number.
it had to be a certain number.
Okay.
Yeah, it always moved with a certain number, and it wasn't just clan rats, it was just number of models, because I think you could do it with plague monks too, if I remember right.
It looked like a battle line type unit that could move it, right?
Yeah. But I'm excited to see the leaks from the Skaven battle tome, even though I don't have Skaven army anymore. Nighthaunt looks sick. I feel bad.
I'm 2-1 against Nighthaunt TTS. Let's go. Barely.
I feel bad scary. For the guy that didn't buy my Nighthaunt army, because he would have been set up pretty for this upcoming battle tome. So.
Oh, so you still have it?
I do, yes.
You gonna play it?
Maybe next year. Because I really want to finish this year with Destruction, and I have a feeling that Ogre Maw Tribes might get some good buffs, I'm hoping. But
might make a comeback.
Yeah, and if I don't, worst comes to worst, I'll just sell the Nighthaunt army to somebody who wants to play it. But
yeah,
I do like my ghosty boys, so it's hard for me to let them go.
Nice.
They were my first.
Nothing like the first.
So what's the next leak that's going to happen? What's your prediction?
I mean, I think we got to go with the Destruction stuff at this point. Because Ogres?
I'm going to go with Getz. I think Getz will get leaked pretty soon.
So another question is, what army is getting multiple models and what army is getting a single hero?
That's hard to tell. Who do you think is going to be? Well, like, are we talking about even like Slave to Darkness and everything else like that? Or are we just talking
about... No. I mean, Getz and ones. Ogres.
Which one gets the light touch and which one gets a lot of new units? I'm hoping Getz gets the new units so we can get some cool spidery stuff. I want the spider stuff to be cool again.
I'm afraid you're going to see more like squig type stuff with the Getz.
Yeah.
Just because that seems to be how GW likes to, you know, especially with 40K, you saw squigs show up in the orcs for them. So,
well, you've got squigs in your Cruel Boys. They make their shields out of them.
Well, no, that's just shields. They just look like squigs. I bet you I could see maybe. No, yeah, probably a hero unit for the Ogre Maw Tribes. Maybe a new Fire Belly or something like that. New hero unit, something that casts. And then, I agree. I think Getz is more deserving as far as models go, but it won't be something like a foot Getz thing. It'll be something.
What you need is some else. Yeti riders.
Ah, no. They'll probably do like a new Knoblar scrap launcher or something like that if they gave anything to the Ogre Maw Tribes.
Or maybe a shooting unit that's not a scrap launcher. I don't know. I guess you have the...
Oh, dude, cannon, lead, belcher. Lead belchers are sick, man. Lead belchers are pretty decent. I don't know what people are thinking. I'd like to see them buff up the Gutbuster side, though. I don't think you see enough of them.
Knoblar archers, they like... four shots apiece, but they like hit on fives.
I'm still waiting for like a off the wall new unit to come out, her new army, like Chaos Dwarves or
were those bug ones that they were kind of hinting around at?
Yeah,
whenever Kragnos was coming out,
maybe just turned out to be the Tyranid release. Although I think we're kind of in a holding period for brand new armies since 40K re-released the squats coming back. I think they're throwing a lot behind that.
I don't think they have to, because people are going to buy that just because it's squats.
That's true.
Or what is it? What are they actually called? Legions of Votan or whatever?
Legions of Votan.
It'd be interesting to see some conversions for that, because I feel like you could use those as 40K and AOS.
Dude, there's going to be a bunch of guys running Caradhran Overlords with them. Mm-hmm. that's all coming.
If you guys had got to add a couple things to the Prime Hunters that aren't on there, either as armies that need to get the extra points or units that need to give away extra points, do you guys have any thoughts on what should be in there that's not?
I'd add some Soul Blight stuff for death. Corpse Cart or Belladama or the Radagar. I'd add any of those to
Zombie Lord on Dragon is really strong. And
yeah,
Soul Boy.
I'd put regular ass zombies on there.
Oh yeah, you put the
regular. Like a point for each one of those.
Yeah, if you kill one of those giant ass units, you deserve a point.
No, if you kill one of those giant ass units, you deserve
like three, it'll be 3 points because it's reinforced, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like. I would put Marathi back on it just because I feel like Marathi should be 2 points, because if you kill Marathi, that's an accomplishment, especially because you're only doing 3 wounds around.
Yeah.
Destruction, I would honestly leave how it is, just because I feel, well, I would.
What about Craggy? Can we put Craggy on there?
No, he goes away too quickly. He still goes away too quickly.
So all four of your models that you play with that list, you give away.
I mean, I still think the only thing wrong with the destruction side is I really think you should put the megas back to one, because you just need I mean I know 2 victory points isn't a big deal, but still, it's one of those things for me where it just seems stupid, because a Maw Crusher is so much more utilitarian than the megas, because the megas just run up and sit and that's it. Like, they exist. A Gatebreaker does great DPS, but a Kraken Eater should not be 2. That's just my opinion. Order needs Marathi and probably half the freaking stuff that Seraphon feels, just with casting and everything else. Like, I'd like to see 1 or 2 more Seraphon stuff show up. I don't know about Chaos, though. You know Chaos better than me, but
I mean, not really.
On there.
Yeah.
Even though he's so many points, he's still one of those things that, like, I mean, I know you probably win the game when you kill him anyway, but he gets so many buffs where he can just be crazy good.
And what's on there right now? It's Bellicor, the Kairos.
Slave Demon Prince, Kairos.
Yeah.
The Corn Demon Prince, I'd put him on there.
Oh, the Incest one?
Yeah. No, the Corn Demon Prince that does the minus.
Yeah, he's already on there. I'm thinking about the Insensate Rage
one. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about a Bloodthirster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like Death needs some stuff that you get points off of, because it still seems weird to me how they're like, there's nothing in there. At least put Nagash on there, for crying out loud, or any of his Mortarks.
But I think part of it is like this tournament is that we've got 40 lists and 20 of them are order, five are death, 5 are destruction, and 10 are chaos. So I think that's part of the problem too, is that
I don't know if anybody at the Seattle Open brought Nagash. I didn't see a Nagash. Think about it.
He's kind of faded into the background a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the weird part to me is how many destruction armies are throwing Craggy out there, but he shouldn't be on that list, because he still just disappears if you focus him. Is
2 up save?
Not great. Well, the problem is after save. Mortal Wounds, after save. I know. You can still get through that. I don't know. I just hate that concept. Like, to me, just get rid of that concept and focus on something else.
Yeah, focus on adjusting the points and adjusting War Scrolls or rules. Mm-hmm. If there's a problem, then adjust War Scroll points and points, and you can deal with them.
Or rewrite a War Scroll. Like, mm-hmm. when it's blatantly obvious that there's a unit that's causing a problem, like Marathi, who gives units abilities to shoot in the hero phase, and then everybody builds around that.
Yeah, Marathi, all you gotta do is just say
once
only for either once per game you can do it, or only in melee instead of shooting, and
then it's fixed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's a waste, and it's probably something they're trying to do until the GHB. And
yeah, maybe... as like a Band-Aid until... But we're not that far from new GHB, right?
Yep. Actually, and then be. Battle line, baby.
By next week, right? Go at this pace.
Well, I mean, we should be...
With everything else leaked. It should be leaked any day now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, too, it's probably going to come out early July again. So we're close. What do you think the battle line abilities are going to be?
It's going to be battle tactics, like, you know, steal an objective with battle line and kill two battle line units.
Do you get like a battle line ability, kind of like a monstrous rampage?
Like the spells or monstrous rampage, or like, you know,
you get some kind of reinforced
plus one to hit and wound for if you cast the spell with battle on a battle line unit or something like that, that kind of stuff. A buff. Oh, you're thinking of like rampage. I was thinking of like the spells,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. But you know, you could do like a battle line rampage, like a different kind of inspiring presence, where, or they could make our battle line get to inspire. What's it called? Not inspire presence. One where you bring back unit models.
Oh, rally!
Rally on a 5+ instead of 6+ up with battle line. That could be game changing.
Dude, the freaking doc get to rally off a 4+ with one of their things.
So do Fire Slayer. So do, what's another one that gets to do that? I don't know. There's a few out there now.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Like, I saw that and I just read it and I'm like, okay, well, battle line is mostly chaff at this point, unless you're specialized.
Right.
So,
and they could even just do something where, hey, this season, instead of getting 4 reinforcements, you could have 6 reinforcements, or instead of, you know, and then that way it just allows there to be more.
I wouldn't mind seeing something that like improves their defense. So like gives them battle line, and I'm thinking more like clan
minus
rats.
One to hit or something.
Yeah, give them something that makes them a little tougher, because there's a lot of battle line, if you look throughout a lot of the tomes, that are pretty much 5+ saves, and that's about as good as you can get with the way Rend is right now. So I wouldn't mind seeing something that
and
makes...
I feel like they're trying to fix save stacking with Rend stacking. And I think that's the wrong way to go. Like, oh, we'll just give this -3 rend. Well, that works against, I don't know. I don't know that that's the way I want to fix save stacking.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind see them redoing that in the GHB. I really would like it to where they go, you can just get a +1, and that's just pretty much all you can get. Like, there's not really a way to get out of doing a +1 to save, or a +1 to hit, or a +1 to wound, or like getting rid of stacking completely. Because the one thing I'm worried about, with especially with the Nighthaunt tome, is you have the ability to stack Wave of Terrors.
Yeah.
So if you do it right, you can have one unit that's affected by all of the abilities of Wave of Terror, and then that unit is essentially neutered.
Yeah. I've had a unit that was -2 to hit, -2 to save, and strike last.
And that and
didn't do very good.
And we keep talking about how we're trying to make this game more interactive. Like, make it to where if you do something, I can react to it or something like that. So, I don't know. It always scares me when they bring out this stuff, because I worry they are going to bloat it a little bit too much.
What? GW never bloats their games. Come on now, Ryan. Let's be realistic here.
I'm looking at you, Horus Heresy. Ugh. In its current iteration.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I know I just sold my entire Alpha Legion army, but like, it's looking kind of fun.
You're going to reinvest. Just give it.
Fuck. You're right. I probably will. But now, do I stick with Alpha Legion because they're my favorite, or do I do one of those other legions that I was thinking about previously? Who knows? That's
you take the quiz and let the quiz decide.
Well, do you know what the quiz told me?
What?
Alpha Legion.
Well, there you go. You got to do Alpha Legion.
I'll take it again and see what it says, and I'll stick with that one.
Good luck.
I wish they had a quiz like that for Age of Sigmar. That'd be pretty cool. See where you line up.
That would actually be really cool. I really wish they would do that. So I think they should do it for 40K too.
Yeah, GW, if you're listening, which we know you are just waiting for our podcast episodes every time they get released.
Yeah, they get so frustrated that we keep delaying podcasts. Yeah.
That's why they keep re-releasing Doc.
Yeah, they're waiting on these books.
Speaking of GW waiting on podcasts, do they still even do their Stormcast podcast thing? You remember when they had an Age of Sigmar podcast?
I do, but I think it's on Warhammer Plus now.
Is it? People pay for that?
I paid for it, but I don't know that that's on there because I don't check it because it hasn't had Age of Sigmar stuff on it.
Are you telling me they don't release something every single week?
No, they do. They release battle reports every single week.
Oh, wow.
And then they give you like a 2-minute episode of something, I think, as well.
40K.
That is 40K related. Yeah, I can only recall them actually having one Age of Sigmar animation thing so far.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, GW, we know you're listening. Give us a quiz to tell us what army we should play in Age of Sigmar. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Which Age of Sigmar army are you?
If you could have one Warhammer Plus animation like episode, what would you go for? Because they already did kind of a Stormcast thing, but like if you could choose, what would you have it be? Because right now, what I would tell GW is take all your End Times books that led into Age of Sigmar and turn it into like a giant Game of Thrones miniseries. Like just animate those books to act as an introduction to get people into Age of Sigmar. Like you tell how the old world ended and the new world began. And then you can go straight into like the Age of Mythology and everything else. You're welcome.
That seems like it would be very tough.
But the books are already written.
Maybe. So. I don't know. Let's see. What would I do? A GW show about Age of Sigmar. I'd want to see like the Cities of Sigmar, like from their perspective. You know, just like a regular like dude. Like, I'm here defending my city, and there's a giant fucking demonic dragon three-headed and Archaon coming right at me like
and it's like Lord of the Rings style where you got
the
dwarf, the elf, and the human like side by side fighting, and
that'd be cool.
Or you know, you have like a guy there and he sees all these demons pouring out of the sky coming at him, and he looks at it, you know, like a freaking Tiger King, you know, with the tornado. He's like, well, nothing we can do about that. And he just walks off.
That'd be hilarious.
I'll never financially recover from this.
That's one of the best lines in that whole thing. A little dwarf. I'll never financially recover from this.
He takes out his little book and writes in his book of grudges the entirety of chaos.
Yeah, chaos.
Oh man, that would be cool. I mean, there's so many things they can do and they're just not doing it. It's just sad.
Yeah. Paul, what do you got?
Let's see. I want to see something with the Chaos Gods fighting over like the Realm of Chaos or something. I think that would be kind of interesting.
That'd be cool. Like kind of them fighting over the 8 points or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that being very neat.
Yeah, that'd be really neat.
I'd actually kind of, you know what I would like? That little comic they do with
the two Stormcast?
No, the other ones, the Chaos dudes that are following the goat. I would like to see that turned into a TV show. Yeah,
that would be really cool, like Rick and Morty style.
Yeah. GW should hire us. We have all the good ideas.
Yeah, we're so good.
Yeah. GW, I know we're American, but still, we can help you. You need us.
So, one last thing, Paul.
Sign up for Flying Monkey.
Do it. Yeah, how many people are signed up now? Look at that.
We got like 40 something signed up. Something like that.
Let's see here. It might be more than that.
I'm told it counts towards Midwest Masters.
With my stellar 50% win rate over these last two tournaments, I dropped to
36. 37.
36?
36.
We need 40 people. We need 4 people to sign
up.
No,
we need 50.
50.
Well, I'm shooting for 40, and then we can
we'll get there. I mean, we got 4 months. You'll make it.
And one thing Chase was asking me is if Buck was coming to Flying Monkey, and I said, well, he's got a ticket.
I have a ticket this year.
No, I asked if he's coming, and I said, I hope he's coming.
This year, I am taking off the entire week after, so I don't work Fridays, so I'll probably fly out Friday and get there. And speaking of flying there, Bam told me there's a direct flight from Wichita to Seattle, so that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of random, but yeah, direct flight, so that'll be fun. So that's I'm watching the plane ticket prices right now, and then after that event I'm gonna head to back to Oklahoma and hang out a few days with my dad. And then go visit some buddies around there. Probably go hang out with a buddy of mine in Missouri and then fly back home. So.
Well, it sounds like you're going.
Yeah. Yep. I am. So I'll be there and we'll see if, depending on what the meta and everything looks like, if Sylvaneth is really good, I'm going to figure out a way to bring my army with me. I did talk to some of the guys that flew here for the Seattle Open and kind of got some ideas on how they brought their stuff and what they were using to bring it in. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'll have hopefully my own army and have it not get totally destroyed in flight. So that'd be great.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yeah. All right, so yeah, sign up for Flying Monkey. And yeah. I think that's it. Paul, good luck tomorrow and Sunday.
Yes.
Thanks.
I hope you take first.
I hope terrible.
I will take all your bad juju from you and all the bad dice rolls, so you should have good dice rolling tomorrow and Sunday. So if you have bad dice rolling, blame Ryan.
Okay. It's true, it's my fault.
Yeah. I will definitely do that.
All right, so I think we're good there. So later, nerds.
See ya.
Later.
I fucking hate Marathi.